catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Thursday morning, April 15th. I'm Melissa Fato, and this is The Point from WUFT News. In 1958, the University of Florida became a racially integrated institution. But 13 years later, the administration was still struggling to adjust to the change, causing the black student population to demand improvement. WUFT's Malia Leiden has the story on what led to a 1971 sit-in now called Black Thursday, and its effects on campus.
When I was moving in, I had my roommate come in, you know, being the friendly guy that I am, I turn around. Hi, my name is Joe.
That's Joseph McLeod, a former University of Florida student in a 2010 interview from the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program.
And I held out my hand to shake his hand. He looked at me, turned around, never saw the guy again.
This was in 1969, but 2 years later, in 1971, racial tensions were still high. Gwen Francis, another student, also had difficulty fitting in.
It's very isolating to be in that kind of an environment when there are 500 people and two black people in the whole group.
Black students were outnumbered, 343 to 20,000 white. McLeod says that disparity in population contributed to the black student union's push for their rights.
Well, the BSU, you know, we got together, has meetings over a period of time, and came up with a set of demands. One, for the university to recruit more black students, to open the Institute of Black Culture, to recruit more black faculty, and there were maybe four or five other demands that we had.
On April 15th, 1971, Francis says students went to Tigard Hall to talk with then-president Stephen C. O'Connell about these demands.
O'Connell was such an a-hole that he did not want to meet with us. He didn't have anything to want to do with us because we really just wanted to sit down and talk, and he was having no part of that.
Another student, Betty Stewart Fullwood, says they tried three times to have a conversation. She participated in the final attempt after hearing about it through word of mouth.
I was just drawn to it because it was so relevant at the time.
Carl Smart joined because he wanted to fight for minority rights and improve the campus.
It wasn't as confrontational maybe as it appeared. Just it's time to make this statement and time for people to listen up.
But Francis says the administration wasn't having it.
We had a sit-in. We went to his office and we sat in his office probably maybe for about 45 minutes and he proceeded to have us arrested. So the buses came and they took us all down to the Alachua County Jail.
Over 60 students were arrested or suspended, counting Francis, Smart, and McLeod.
In fact, there was one guy that was clueless. He was coming in from class. His name was Demp. And Demp saw everybody getting on the bus. And so he got on the bus. He was looking around, and Demp said, "Hey, where are we going?" Everybody hollered, "To jail!" And Demp hollered, "Let me out this mill!"
In addition to the confusion, Smart says it was a difficult experience.
Very frightening is all I recall. It was scary, but we were all there together, so it was helpful that we were together as a unit.
They got out that same day, but the campus community wasn't satisfied and called for amnesty for those suspended and arrested. O'Connell refused, stating it would show the sit-in was acceptable conduct. This denial led over 100 black students and supporters to withdraw from the university. Fullwood was one of them, but came back after a semester or two and graduated. When she arrived, she noticed a shift had occurred, as O'Connell and the administration warmed to change.
I felt refreshed. And I think I felt relieved, and I could see progress because I could see that fall term is when we had more African-American faculty and staff to be recruited to come on. And I'm sure there were more students that were admitted as well.
It has been 50 years since that fateful April 15th. But with nearly a year of racial unrest nationally and promises made by UF, a lurking question is how far the university has come in improving the black student experience. Malia Leiden, WUFT News.
Here's what else you need to know today. Florida's Senate Rules Committee will scale down a proposal that would have eliminated ballot drop boxes in the name of election reform. According to member station WFSU, Senator Dennis Baxley of Ocala says his bill isn't a response to Florida's elections, which went smoothly in the last cycle, but a preventative measure against future issues. The plan is under fire from Democrats and voting rights groups, who say the rest of the bill still makes it harder to vote. Lawmakers will continue to discuss the bill after time ran out in the committee before a vote could be taken. The pollution that spilled out of the Piney Point phosphate plant last month is likely to linger in the Tampa Bay for months, says a University of South Florida scientist. More than 200 million gallons of wastewater was spilled into the bay after a leak was found in a retention pond. According to member station WUSF, a computer model used to track red tide and the bay's response to Hurricane Irma in 2018 is being used to track the pollution. Scientists are still determining the environmental damage that could ensue. No mask mandate for Florida students starting this fall. According to the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Florida Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran issued a letter Wednesday telling school districts to make masks optional at the start of the 2021 school year. Corcoran noted that the Department of Education reviewed data that determined that there was no correlation between mask mandates and the presence of COVID-19 in schools. Corcoran stressed that families should have the option to determine whether their child wears a face covering. Lastly, add a frog with claws to the list of creatures that can be found in Florida. According to Naples Daily News, the African amphibian is the latest invasive species to be found in the Tampa area. The tropical clawed frog could unbalance the state's fragile aquatic ecosystem, but experts are unsure whether they will continue to spread to other parts of the state. Subscribe to the Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org for more information. I'm Melissa Fato, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Have a good one!